Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rum River Back Then. I'm your host, Dave Fountain. Joining me are my great co-hosts, Jake.
Hi.
Mary.
Hello.
And our special guest today, because Mr. Optics is out, we figured we'd fill in with another British person. Mr. Bran is here. Mr. Bran Wolf. Hello, Bran.
That's me.
What? They're all the same.
Just for the record, Optics is South African.
Yeah, but he lives over there, so
sure.
He
lives over
it's
there.
It's a territory we took out at some point, so it counts.
Just over there somewhere, you know.
Does that mean I count if I, like, lived in England, too, at one point?
If then, you lived over like, there.
Yeah, if I lived over there, then I guess it would count.
Yeah. Anywhere over there. It could count anywhere, really.
I live in the dark zone.
The darkest zone.
We have all lived in a very dark zone for the past 70-something hours.
Yeah.
I guess.
Way less than that, like 48, 36.
My hand hurts, you guys. My pinky.
Why
it
your pinky?
It did too much. All that shift and control.
You know it's a toggle, right? You don't have to hold it.
Oh, well.
You can also run and hit the shift button to sprint and then just move your mouse around.
Fuck.
You can, like, hold control when you just walk over everything.
And then there's also something called parkour mode, where when you're sprinting, it auto-jumps stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you just aim at the other end of the map and hold the control button down.
So it really is like an MMO. I should have fiddled with more stuff, yeah.
Hmm. In case you have no idea what we're talking about, The Division.
Yeah, we've been playing the beta nonstop, basically.
We should also say that today is Sunday, January 31st, 2016.
Yes, it is. The 31st of January. We're almost into February, folks.
That's how it works.
I think February is the most awful month. That or March. March or February.
Hey, March is fine.
Yeah, February sucks.
March is cool.
March
my
is
birthday.
All right. I got no beef with March.
Yeah, and The Division comes out March 8th,
there
aka
you go.
My birthday. So, yeah, there.
Dying Light, The Following, comes out next week.
Oh, nice.
Stoked on that.
So, yeah, we've been
playing
The Division.
So, yeah, March is good. Fuck you.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't know.
Like I said, I live in the dark zone now, so it's all darkness all the time.
Okay, well, so we played The Division. What does everybody think? Tell me your thoughts after playing the beta.
I was delightfully surprised by that game.
I was as well.
I'm also surprised. A little bit. It was better than I was expecting it to be, to be honest. But, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I watched that E3 gameplay video where they introduced, like, the Dark Zone concepts and going rogue and all that crap, and I was like, this actually sounds pretty cool, and I finally got to try it, and it is pretty cool when it works, and when it's not bugged out and you're invisible and invincible, then it's really cool and fun.
That, the going rogue mechanic needs a little tweaking.
Yeah.
But,
what do you think is messed up about it?
The timer part of it, because, well, I don't know.
It kind of feels like it punishes you a little too much for going rogue, and you don't really get that great a benefit from it. Like, you know, some money, but not amazing amounts.
I think they kind of do that because they want you to use it judiciously. Like, they want you to really think about it before you go rogue. Like, well, do they actually really have good shit? Like... yeah. Do I want to risk stealing them?
I guess, but it's one of those issues where I don't know if any of the gear is really worth it at the end of the day. If anything was really that good to make you want to go rogue.
Well, it's especially not worth it in the beta, for sure.
Yeah, because of how small of an area it was.
Yeah, and how small of, like, a level range and everything, too. Like, I don't know.
Like, it's like, why kill me when you can just go shoot some NPCs? And it's like, we might kill you. Who knows? It's
like, and you have a better chance of getting treasure by killing NPCs than you do other random people. Like, maybe if you're lucky, they'll have a dark zone key or something. And then you won't be able to open up a fucking Dark Zone treasure chest because they're all used all the time. Ah!
Because there was, like, a grand total of 6 in that area or something.
Yeah, so that was pretty frustrating.
Like, I was surprised when we opened that Dark Zone chest because I was expecting a really good item, not, a large amount of money. That seems weird to me.
Didn't we get items out of it, too? I thought we did.
Yeah, but they were nothing that was like, wow, what an item, or something like that.
No high-grade items?
Nope, yeah. Nothing. We didn't get any purples out of them.
It was just greens. That's lame. I think it was greens.
Greens and blues, and that was it.
I haven't actually encountered a single purple in my game yet. Like, they just green, sold. Blue, and the high-grade, yeah.
They are sold at the entry from the light... What do you call the regular area? The light zone? In the dark zone? Like that intermediary spot, that shopkeeper.
Camp Hudson thing?
No.
Oh. No, at the entrances to the dark zone.
Oh, I see, yeah.
The checkpoint things or whatever where you go in.
Yeah, those dealies.
It's the person standing there. Yeah.
They have the ammo box. And then
they fucking berate you when you don't buy anything from them.
Oh, they do? I had it in German and Japanese, like, the whole time.
Of course you did.
Yeah. American is boring. Like, English, I know that already. Boring.
And there's a lot of Japanese people in New York lately, man. Like, everybody. Not even one that speaks English. Very strange. This post-apocalyptic future is awful. Filled with Japanese people everywhere. And German people.
Some people were speaking Chinese, too. Like, I thought that was interesting. Like, I probably should play it in English, too, and see if they have just, like, random foreign voice acting randomly, because it's New York City. I don't know. Weird.
There is a lot of the audio, just the ambient sounds and stuff that are really well done in that game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're in the base operations, and it's a little looping conversation, but it sounds really believable about, it's just these guys planning a raid on some place or something.
Yeah, it's clear. I checked it out. What's weird is that ambient conversation was still in English when I was playing in Japanese, so it was kind of like, it was creepy to hear, like, random, I don't know, a natural sounding conversation in English, and then just, like, super choppy anime voice acting at the same time.
Has no one had the problem where you go into the base area and you're in there for a minute or two and then every single NPC all say their line of dialogue all at the same time?
What?
No. It's horrifying.
That happened to me like three or four times.
If you sit at one of the vendors for a while, you notice it.
Yeah. I'd freak me out when that happened.
All of the vendors do their little thing like, I don't know. Like in Skyrim, it's like, buy armor from Grelka.
Just over, like, I never, wow, I never even,
not over,
yeah,
and
I never
over
had that
and over,
happen.
But there was like, they would all do it at once, and then there was a long silence, and then they would all do it at the same time again, and there's long silence.
Wow.
Well, that's fucking weird. That's
scary. It sounds like they screwed it up and either meant to only have, like, the vendor you were active, like, repeat their dialogue like that, or they need to stagger them, because, yeah, that's messed up and weird.
Do they all stare at you then?
Just talk to you when you talk to them, like respond to you activating them. No, but, you know, there's a lot of like random outbursts just coming from people while you're standing around. It's a little bit strange, but
hey, it's New York City, okay? That's what they do. You think I like standing in the street? That actually
happens.
Everyone
seems really, really passive aggressive as well. Like everyone you're talking to.
Like I said, it's New York City. Well, they're more aggressive than passive aggressive. But yeah, people are really like snippy. Like, I'm trying to help, why are you so upset? I guess there are dead people in the streets all over, so I would be pretty upset too.
That's probably got something to do with it.
A little bit.
A corpse train in the subway.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a train that's just like full of bodies.
Yeah.
It's where all the other bodies are, next to the bodies.
Oh, okay, next to the bodies.
Oh,
and you can run
bodies
all over them. You can just hike all over the bodies.
Yep.
So right, and then, like, leaving Camp Hudson, there's a huge, like, mass grave outside of it, like, right outside of it you have to walk by.
Tom
shouldn't
Clancy
be burning them if there was, like, some kind of virus contamination, but just piling them up.
Oh, they do. They do. That's what those flamethrower enemies are about. And apparently they decided to burn some people alive just, you know, to make sure they didn't have the virus.
Just for fun, you know.
Just for lols, you know. We're just joking. It's just a prank, man. Just a prank.
They're passionate about their job. Can't argue with that.
I know I laugh when I set people on fire in that game, so I can't really blame them.
I really enjoy setting people on fire with the the incendio grenade.
Yeah,
especially when it's other human beings and they just don't really know what to do.
Yeah, they just stand there and like look all around. There was a lot of standing there and looking all around when I was an invisible murder ghost. That was great.
Yes, you were an invisible murder ghost.
Yeah, I was an invisible murder ghost with Rain and Thouden when we were playing earlier today, and it was a lot of fun. I had like two mercenary takedowns that I was able to outlast because I was invisible and invincible. And then I kind of felt like a jerk.
Hey, you got your you got your legendary thing out of it. Your high grade gun.
Yeah, so, I got my high grade rifle, so okay, whatever. And it's just a beta. Like, if it was the real game, I wouldn't do that. I would quit. But yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Did anyone else find they were running out of ammo a lot in the dark zone because there's just not enough things to kill to get more ammo? Or, like, any resupply boxes anywhere?
Yeah.
I didn't run out once, actually.
It's weird. I kept running out of ammo for at least one of my guns. But maybe there's a resupply thing in the safe house because I went in there like once ever.
I just
never bothered going in there. That's probably why
I ran out all the time as a murder ghost. And then you just go up and hit tab and melee them, and they just still don't know what's going on. It was fun.
Yeah, so I'll be curious where they go with that. And they have a month until release, so
yep.
I don't know what else they can do really. Besides for some hot fixes, which I think there's quite enough glitches that we've each seen to warrant maybe a few bug fixes there, here and there.
Like being able to shoot from the light zone into the dark zone via a fence.
I was definitely getting shot through walls occasionally by people that... there was somebody earlier that had gone rogue, and I was trying to get to them, and they were shooting me through a container, and then they came around, and I assume it was just lag, and they could see me before I could see them, but... It was a little frustrating. I lost half my health while this guy was shooting me from the other side of a solid object, because I think it's client-side hit detection, maybe. So, if they can see you and you can't see them, then you can shoot them. So that's a bit of a problem in PvP.
Plus the whole controller mouse thing locking up, and then you have to alt-tab out to get it to work again.
Yeah, that was pretty irritating.
Yeah, that was fun.
I haven't had that problem.
But yeah, like, if the entrance to the Dark Zone... If you go up, like, if you go north, like, two blocks, there's this big fence. And a lot of times, NPCs will spawn in there, like, hostile ones for the Dark Zone. So Midge and I, we're running around waiting for Thad to do something. And we were starting taking shots at these NPCs, and then they died. I don't think we got any XP or anything for them. But we saw an agent run by, and it highlighted him. So that means they're running in tandem.
Wow, that's weird.
And we took shots at him. And we could throw grenades over it, too.
There's a lot of weird map stuff to that game. Like, they seem to kind of don't mind if you kind of exploit things in that way. Like, I was able to shoot people through the front and back of a cop car, like, through the glass. And that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of another example. Sorry. I knew
the
there was
slates
one
of a wood thing? You could shoot people through slates of a wood thing?
Yeah, you can shoot people through fences. You can shoot people up from on fire escapes. It's, I don't know, the urban combat stuff is pretty cool. And I find PvP a lot more fun when I can actually steal loot from people.
Yeah,
like, that makes it a ton of fun.
Yeah, there's not that many games that do that, right? You could look at something like RuneScape being... kind of the originator of that idea of like going
like,
somewhere
or
and having all your stuff taken. Okay, go ahead.
Ancient ass EverQuest, you could do that too. But
some of the MMOs I used to play were there's a lot of that sort of thing. You know, EVE Online, obviously. Although penalties, I think, in the Division are pretty light because you're not really losing much unless you do happen to find something really valuable and then you want to hand it in. But most of the time, you're just picking up crap that's just like more generic items. But I guess if you do get something special, you know, it's going to be quite an adrenaline rush trying to actually get that on the helicopter.
And we had a couple of those.
Because, you know, when you activate one of those things, people tend to turn up, even if they don't have anything to turn in. And even if they don't want to kill people, you find, like, 8 or 9 people suddenly, like, standing around, and you never really know if someone's just going to throw a grenade into the middle of the landing zone, which, you know, does happen.
Yeah, that would never happen, would it, Mary? Never.
No, never.
Never happen. No one would do that. Who would just throw a grenade right into the middle of...
I don't know. I've heard murder ghosts like to do that.
Oh, yeah, those murder ghosts. Aren't they there just throwing grenades everywhere? Ugh, murder ghosts.
They're the worst.
They're taking our jobs, I'm telling you.
They're taking our cosmetic items, our pants and scarves away.
Trendy caps.
Yes. Boy.
Puffy jackets.
That makes me the most pissed off, though, when I lose, like, a cosmetic item. Like, I get more mad about that than losing a Dark Zone key, since I can never get the treasure anyway.
Does the regular armor and stuff you pick up actually change how you look? I couldn't really tell if the body armor was different.
Not really.
It does, but, yeah. The jacket and stuff like that.
So, it's not just the, like, cosmetic items that change how you look. They're just obvious ones. Yeah, okay.
Slight changes, I think, maybe.
Well, it's weird. Like, the cosmetic items are technically different. Like, the armor item is your jacket. The cosmetic item is your shirt. Another cosmetic item is your pants. Like, you don't have pants as, like, an armor item. You have a holster or whatever instead. So they all affect your appearance. They all display. It's just, for some reason, the armor is just labeled armor, even though it does affect your appearance, too.
The armor is a bulletproof vest, is what it is.
Yeah, you've got, like, a flight jacket or, you know, Kevlar or whatever, and then you've got your jacket on over that, which is a cosmetic thing, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they do have leather jackets and shit, too. But when I changed my armor, it changed, too. I don't fucking know.
Weird. It's kind of interesting, I guess, although I'm not sure why they make the distinction, really. But I guess they'll never have any... I suppose what it is they want to have a separate set of items that they could, say, sell for microtransactions that don't have any stats.
That makes sense.
They want the rest of your armor to, you know, so if you get, like, a, you know, some epic, if you get something that's particularly special, like some, you know, endgame raid loot that's an actual piece of gear, like a holster or whatever, that actually looks different, that people can still see that. But obviously you can also sell people some jackets and shoes that for extra money as well, because there's going to be no subscription or anything, is there? So they're going to want to milk people a little bit, I imagine, down the line.
Yeah,
and that's, like, probably the safe way of doing it.
Yeah, they're also selling a season pass with, like, 3 DLC things announced. They haven't said what exactly the third DLC content is going to be, but I'm pretty sure the first one adds on a new area, and the second one sounds like some kind of combat arena, possibly connected to the Dark Zone. I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to actually have any, like, raids, technically.
I thought they'd pretty much confirm that there would be an 8-man raid or something like that. I thought I'd read that somewhere, but maybe not.
I think I've heard that as well, and they're doing some kind of endgame PvE content. I don't know if it's a raid, but
I would be surprised if they didn't, to be honest, because I think that they could, you know, after we did that hard mode mission, the only mission that's available, that was actually quite good. And I imagine if they did something where they actually used, you know, threat mechanics and stuff, which are clearly there because you get bits of gear that reduce your threat and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of MMO stuff going on there. And if they had actual raids where, you know, you needed, like, tanks and healers and DPS, because it looks like they're going that way when you get a heal and, you know, a scan that is basically just a buff for your group and also a ballistic shield. It seems like that's kind of the direction they might go in game for PvE.
Yeah.
So it could be kind of interesting.
I think that's logical. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that's the one question that I want to hear a little bit more of before I definitely buy in is, what does this game look like end game? What are you doing generally?
I don't know. With seeing that the max level for the Dark Zone is 99, like, you can rank up to 99 for that and up to 30 for, like, the main leveling, I'm kind of thinking that they just expect you to do Dark Zone stuff the whole time. I'm not sure. Like, apparently there's some interview, like, in 2013 where they talk about the possibility of 8-player raid type content, but they haven't seen anything else from what I can see after that.
I'm down with it just being Dark Zone stuff after that.
I mean
Dark Zone is pretty fun.
Yeah, it is, but if it's literally just, like, area doing that same thing, people get rid of it very quickly because it's just, like, DayZ scaled down to very, very minimal sort of level. And I don't know if that will keep people interested for a long time, especially if they bought all the stuff off the vendors and then there's, like, no real reason to go and, like, rank up anymore. Why would they bother, you know, unless there's something else that we don't know about yet that they've got to add?
Yeah, it's possible they could come up with something cool for that third DLC that they haven't really said what it's going to be yet. But I kind of don't mind if there's, like, an endpoint for this game. Like, it's fine if I get done with it. I that's okay. I can play other games. Like, at least they're not charging a subscription or anything, and hopefully the DLC isn't going to be that expensive. I don't know.
How much is the season pass?
I'm not sure. I know it comes with the collector's version of the game, or like the gold version or whatever.
It is some amount of money. I can't
research it right now.
Damn, Microsoft Store only not showing you the actual price when you click on to try to buy things. What the hell?
What's the deal with the Microsoft Store?
I mean, I think that I'll probably buy it now that I've actually tried it, but I'm not sold on a season pass because I'm not, from what I've seen, if it's basically that, but like three times as much with, you know, more story missions and stuff, obviously, I'm not convinced that I'd like to play it for as long as something like Destiny, for example, where you have the Crucible. If you enjoy it, you know, like not everybody does, but I really like the PvP in Destiny. I haven't been playing it much recently, but I will go back to that all the time because it reminds me of, you know, when I used to play Halo a lot, because you can just drop in for 10 minutes or whatever and play a few rounds.
Exactly. Like, but I find the shooting in Destiny a lot more fun in general, and I could see myself playing more hours of that technically than really The Division.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they drop more DLC for Destiny, I'd buy it almost without hesitation, or add more content to the game, I'll play it. And I didn't play very much last year. I played a lot more since The Taken King came out than I did last year. But I just think the game, you know, improved significantly. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they look like Division looks like it's trying to do almost all the same things Destiny.
It really does. So I wonder if they will, like, plan to do even more, like, crazy DLC if it's successful. And also, I found out why we can't find the price for the season pass, because they haven't released it yet. So,
surprise.
Yeah, the season pass price isn't released, but the normal version of the game is like $60. Gold edition, which has the season pass, is going to be $100.
So probably somewhere
probably
in the middle,
like 30. Like, yeah, so 30 or 40, I guess, like USD.
Probably.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Well, anyway, I was impressed with what I saw. I didn't care about The Division before the beta, and now I kind of do. So I guess that accomplished its goal. But I'm concerned by some stuff, and I want to, you know, wait a little bit. Don't pre-order games, people. That's all I'm saying. Don't pre-order games.
I mean, I pre-ordered it to get into the beta, and I don't think I'm going to cancel my pre-order. They won.
They won. They beat you. Well, see?
Yep.
Tisk.
I'm the problem.
You're killing the games industry.
Thanks a lot, Mary.
Sorry. Yeah, everything I do.
All right. So, outside of Division, what did everybody else play? Any video games out there?
Nope.
No? Okay. Well, damn.
I mean, that was mainly it.
Did you also played Idolmaster, though, didn't you? Go ahead
now
before
okay,
we get this going.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be fast with it. Sorry. I'm playing it. There was a big update recently. Added new daily and weekly missions.
Holy
which is
cow.
Pretty cool. Yeah. It's actually really nice.
Wow.
Another way to earn free stuff in that game is actually great, because they can give you, like, stamina items and the paid currency crap, so it's good. There's a new event. It's the same live groove medley style event, but this one's all themed on visual, which they haven't messed with before, so that's cool. They added a new song called Apple Pie Princess.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Yeah! And it's not really that great, but I just like the title. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I like to think she's a princess of the McDonald's apple pie, the little ones.
Yeah. Fiery. Yep.
Or like Hostess.
Those are nasty, though. Who would want to be the princess of Hostess apple pies? Ugh.
You don't like Hostess apple pies?
No.
Hostess apple pie's pretty good.
They've been sitting on that shelf for like a year, no
it's
matter.
Because they have.
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
They're delicious.
They're delicious.
Aged to perfection.
Slightly fermented, just a little bit. Just a little
bit. Just a little bit.
A little bit. Delicious. Delicious.
I don't believe you.
You shouldn't believe.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, so I'm still playing it. It's still good. I still like it. They added a whole bunch of new cards. They have Valentine's Day stuff now, too. Yeah. So
can you buy your idol girls Valentine's Day gifts? Can you do that?
No.
Oh.
And actually, shucks. Like, the way it is in Japan, Valentine's Day, it's the girls give dudes chocolate, so...
What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm buying a ticket right now.
I'm already on a plane. I'm right now on a plane.
Let's go.
I'm in Japan already, you guys.
But then, like, a month later, on March 14th, which is White Day, you're supposed to, like, buy stuff back for the girl that gave you chocolate, and you're supposed to, like, double the amount that she spent on whatever chocolate shit she bought, so...
That's a prick.
Oh, so it's an investment.
Yeah, okay. It's an investment opportunity. Smart, smart teaching business tactics at an early age. Good stuff. Good stuff.
So, yeah. It's just as good as our Valentine's Day.
Yep.
What is white... Why is it called White Day?
I actually don't know. That is a good question. I do not know the weird Japanophile reason for why it's called White Day.
White Day.
You can tell everybody's looking it up now.
Everyone went totally. I totally
I'm playing Desert Golf on my phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Triple the return. Not even double. Jesus. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Damn.
That's rough.
But yeah, I don't see why exactly they picked the name White.
White chocolate. That's probably it. They probably...
Probably. It was probably candy companies.
It was done by the National Confectionery Company or whatever. So they probably like, man, we got all this white chocolate and nobody buys it because it's actually terrible. How about we make a day where we sell this? Because it's not
actual chocolate.
Yeah, it's not.
God, I hate white chocolate.
It's gross.
I also hate white chocolate.
Like, I'll eat a piece of white chocolate every once in a while, but ugh, it's not. Nope.
I think that's the first time.
Anybody else who doesn't like it, apart from me, I really don't like it at all.
We have true consensus on this podcast. Everybody fucking hates white chocolate and thinks it's garbage.
I think I used to like it when I was really young, you know, like Milky Bars or something, but no, not anymore. Do you have
gross.
Milky Bars over there?
Milky Bars.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Cowboy, a little blonde cowboy kid on it.
No, we do not. Sure don't.
Nope, because somebody would complain. Because America.
It white chocolate always tastes kind of greasy to me when you take a bite of it. Greasy and weird.
I'd mumble for you.
White chocolate is greasy and gross, and a lot of the time it's gritty because chocolate here is terrible.
That's the nerdiest ass cowboy kid I've ever seen in my life.
It didn't used to look like that, I don't think, but it's changed over time. I guess that's the most recent one, but yeah. I don't remember him having glasses, but...
You could tell that kid gets shoved into lockers.
Maybe they tried to make him look a little bit less Aryan by giving him glasses, I don't know.
You could tell he gets shoved into lockers all the time. You could tell. He walks into school like that, ain't gonna be good.
He looks like the kid from Chicken Little.
He does look that like movie. The kid from Chicken Little.
Huh. Do you remember the live-action Milky Bar Kid adverts? Now I'm thinking about it, where they had, like, some 8-year-old kid doing a Milky Bar.
Oh, God. Oh, God,
that
kid.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, he looks like a monster. That's way scarier than the fucking Home
Alone
kid.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That's what I remember from the 90s or something.
Look at me. Look at me trying to smile.
Yeah, his little tiny teeth.
His little tiny teeth.
A little tic-tac. Look, little tic-tacs for teeth.
All serrated, all this.
Yeah.
Ready to attack and kill. Don't go down. Don't scroll down further in the Google image thing. Don't scroll too far. It gets dark down there. You don't want to scroll too far down.
Oh, I want to see now.
Are we getting to some weird images?
Well, you can't just tell us not to.
Here you go. Get ready for some weird.
What? I don't see anything crazy.
Yeah,
I'm I regret clicking on that.
Whoa!
Yeah, so don't word to all the people out there who are going to search Milky Bars.
I think we found the show image.
No.
Jesus Christ.
I refuse to be responsible by bringing up the Milky Bar topic for that being known to anybody else.
I didn't
do it this time.
Goodness
Yay.
Goodness gracious. All right, so Idolmaster, yep.
I can't bring myself to close this. I'm like, what am I looking at here?
You don't want to
know. Your milk's the best.
Oh my God.
Is it though? Why are their pockets exploding?
What is the other person?
That's hot as hell. That's why. That's what that person thinks. Jesus.
Okay, so Idolmaster, huh? New events. You do dailies while you're doing hots.
Why are they both fat?
I just move along, man.
Too many Milky Bars. Too much of the best milk. God damn it.
So Crypt of the Necrodancer, right? It's a game. Tell me
who
about
is
it.
That on the left with the cheese shirt?
I don't know. I figure that's some other British, like, child institution that advertises cheese or some shit.
Oh, DeviantArt.
Chester the Cheddar Boy or something.
DeviantArt never fails to entertain.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Crypt of the Necrodancer. Let's talk about dancing to the crypt.
I finally played it, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm terrible at that game because I get murdered right away, even though I keep playing it, and I don't think I'm going to get better because I'm really bad at dancing around the bad guys when they attack, so I think I spent $7 on that game and I'm never going to beat it, but that's fine. I like it still.
Oops.
Yeah, still good. Still good. I'll play it some more later, but yeah. That's basically, like, all I've played. I've been busy with a lot of stuff and watching too much anime, so, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's some good games there. Even though I don't like Idolmaster, it seems like they're
so
doing
good.
New
I swear.
Stuff.
No, they really do. I'm surprised they keep updating and adding actual features to this game. It's pretty impressive.
What's the business model with that game? I don't know anything about it.
You basically buy a paid currency, and with that paid currency, you have a chance at getting cards. Like, they're like random card packs, basically. It's that business format.
I see.
Yeah, so...
It's part of the card for real money concept, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I spent $60... And I was hoping they had, like, a bonus rate. They, like, upped the bonus rate of the fanciest cards dropping, the super, super rare, went from 1% to 3%. And did I get any? No. So I basically wasted $60. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So, yeah, they've made a lot of money now.
Okay. Yeah.
So how's Desert Golf going? Like, what hole are you on?
Pretty far.
You're playing Desert Golf?
893. I've been playing this game for years.
Wow.
Wow. Damn, I didn't... Okay. Didn't know there were that many holes in Desert Golf, but all right.
There are.
There are a lot.
Everything's still orange. It hasn't changed colors for me yet.
My God, there's 10,000 holes? 10,000? Well, damn, you're gonna be at that a while, I guess. Damn. All right. We can talk about some stuff we played, Jake, because you played some games with me.
I did. Yes, we did. Close these pictures of Milky Bar Kid.
You got to close it, man. You got to let it go.
Got to let it go. Got to let it burn.
All right. So, we played, first off, some PlanetSide 2. That's a video game where you shoot people with guns and fly around in airplanes and crash into things.
It is.
It's a whole lot of fun. People should play that game more often. It's quite enjoyable.
I downloaded it, hoping to join you at some point, but I've not done so yet.
You should play with us. It's fun.
You're playing NC, right?
Yes, we're playing NC.
I see. Okay.
Dirty the Rebels. New conglomerate.
The super capitalists, right? That's what everyone calls
making
it.
Making sure you get your bonus check. That's what some of the soldiers say in that game.
I wonder if I log in and I'll have hundreds and hundreds of cert points because of all that time I was subscribed to SOE's money sync thing that while I wasn't actually playing and didn't realize it. I'm not sure. I remember logging back into PlanetSide 2 after not playing it for about 9 months and having so many cert points I could unlock about 2/3 of everything on one of my characters. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I unlocked a whole bunch of stuff too.
Wow.
Because they restructured a bunch of the stuff, like I said, a couple weeks ago. They restructured a bunch of the upgrade trees on some stuff, so they refunded a whole bunch of certs.
My main question is, did they buff the Mag Rider again? Because when the game came out, that thing was godlike, and then they nerfed it into oblivion, and it was pretty much useless after that, and it was very upsetting.
Nah, they're not that bad anymore.
I've played this game, and I don't know what the Mag Rider is.
It's the Vanu tank, the hover one that goes sideways.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It used to be fast, like very fast, and the gun was secondary. You could just use the boost, the mag boost, and you could aim up a hill and you would just shoot over the top of it. It was amazing.
We saw people doing that on flashes. Yes, actually, because they we were waiting for a base to capture or something, and they were just driving up onto the side of a container, so they're pointing straight up, and they hit their boost, and it launches them about 20 feet in the air, like, directly straight up.
Have they added any new vehicles in since they added, like, the Jeeps, the little buggies? Because I think that was the last time I was playing. They added, I'm trying to remember what it was.
The Harassers?
The
little, maybe. Yeah, like, the buggies.
Well, it was like a two-man vehicle, I think.
It was a three-person vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fixed, yes.
One driving, one riding shotgun, and one in the back.
I think that's it, yeah, Harasser. Yeah, that sounds like it.
And then they also added a small version of a Galaxy. It holds 6 people instead of 12.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they've obviously made changes. It's definitely different from when I played it 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, it's been out for a while now, about 3 years.
It's a different game. It's definitely something like now that Battlefront and Battlefield and stuff like that hasn't really worked out. I could see people moving over to something like that. I'd be curious to see if they ever do a PlanetSide 3 or something like that, because it certainly has some room to grow. I feel like it has cool stuff about it. It's pretty cool.
I agree. What else did we play?
We also played the game you bought me called Dying Light. That's a game where you hit people in the face with things.
Yep. God. And you attempt to do missile drop kicks off of like a two-story building onto one zombie like 5 times.
Yep. So you can try to film it. That two-story hours spent doing that. Now probably
we spent like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
you can jump from a roof and kick zombies?
Yes.
Yes.
Drop kick.
Like we're talking like jump double kick, land on your back.
Like a wrestling move, zombies. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Like from the top ropes.
That's pretty good.
It's great. Oh man, it's so good. I like.
I don't know what a successful kick looks like from a third person though, because Thouden couldn't do it.
Listen, it's really hard to aim when you're flying through the air.
The timing is weird on those on the drop kick though. I'll give you that.
Difficult. I might just be bad. I might just be bad at wrestling moves. Maybe that's it. Yeah, but that's a fun game. Coming off of Dead Island, I can see a lot of similarities. But it's just so much better in like every way. It's kind of cool seeing a studio go and look at its mistakes from a past game and improve them in the next game. It's really fun. It's cool.
They removed that body part targeting thing from. It's not in Dying Light, is it? That's only
no.
in the first game, right?
Yeah. Which, you know,
it's an interesting idea, but I didn't really like it that much personally. I just thought it controls a little clunky, but I guess it just took some getting used to.
It just didn't do a lot, right? Like you remove one arm, you're still gonna get hit. I don't know, it's just not super effective at doing what you want it to do, which is disable in some way. Like might as well just go around that in how you attack rather than might as well just make it so there's a disable feature or something like that on the weapon rather than do like targeting on limbs in particular, but whatever. So yeah, Dying Light, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
You think you're gonna play the expansion thingy coming out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
That seems fun. I think aren't they adding cars? Like drivable cars?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. I was like, wow, that's a weird change, but also I totally appreciate where that's coming from. And it's also like, you know, something I see from Dead Island also is there lots of cars. Cars and driving. Driving long distances and crashing into things. Oh, it's all just there.
I'm excited. Yep. It's going to be a good time.
I hope they add in vehicles on like that third DLC for The Division, because running around took a long time.
It'd be nice if they did, but they've also blocked off all the streets all over the place, so I don't know how they do that.
Horses,
you could have
I'm
a bike
you.
Or something. Yeah, like bike, horse, something. I don't know. Oh, ride yeah, a dog. Cool. There are dogs all over the streets. Why not?
Parachute a horse in or something in a dark zone.
Riding around a horse with a shotgun, just walking slowly down a street. Yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty cool.
You could get some cosmetic items for your horse. You get a trendy hat for it and some shoes.
I want a scarf for my horse.
You want some horse armor? You want some horse armor, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Think of all the money they could make.
Oh, man, I'm thinking of it right now. Oh, a top hat, too. Oh,
yeah,
man.
I'd buy a top hat for a horse.
Oh, God.
I would name my horse something fancy if he had a top hat. He'd be a fancy horse. Okay. Well, yeah, we played Dying Light. What else did anyone else play? You play anything else, Jake? Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Fun and multiplayer games. It's worth it.
Yep.
All right, Brian, it's your turn up to bat. What did you play?
I've been playing a lot of The Witness. Has anybody else here actually played it at all?
No.
Not much.
We're going
not
to have
yet.
A conversation. You're not going to spoil it for me. Here we go.
No, I wouldn't. But yeah, it's difficult. And there's things I don't like about it that I can't really explain without spoiling it. But yeah, there's some real issues with that game, I think, that I think maybe been glossed over a little bit by all the reviews that are just glowingly positive about it, saying it's the next coming of, you know, of Christ, almost, or the 10 out of 10s everywhere. And it's very good, and it's very challenging, and it's an interesting game. But yeah, like, there's just some real issues with it that have really turned me off it about halfway through. I just sort of want to finish it now, and I'm not really that excited about playing it anymore, which is a little disappointing, really. But yeah, it's still one of the best games I've played in quite some time, I think, as far as, you know, just being challenging is concerned.
So, like, what are the issues that kind of turned you off?
Well, I mean, if I explained, like, exactly what it was that I had a problem with, it would basically explain a mechanic for one of the areas of the game, so I'd rather not. But there's a particular issue that's unique to me that other people wouldn't have a problem with, that I do, that means that it's similar to, I mean, you probably know that Jeff mentioned, I think, on the podcast or something, that being partly colorblind was a problem for him.
Yeah, okay.
That's not really spoiling anything. So it's an issue of that nature. I mean, that's not my problem, but I've got a different problem that's similar. And it basically meant that there was an area of the game that I literally could not do. And I didn't realize this until talking to somebody else about it. And I had a suspicion this was what it was. And I asked them and they said, yeah, you can't do it. So I had to look up the answers. Luckily, you don't actually have to clear every single area in order to finish the game. But I just want, you know, I tend to get into these sorts of things. And I'd like to try and do everything I can, really,
yeah,
before I move on. And then so it was a bit disappointing when I found that there was a part of the game that was just not humanly possible for me to do without cheating. So that was unfortunate. But other than that, it's been really good. I really enjoyed it up until that point.
Do you think they would be able to address it later through a patch, like fix it in some way, like they could possibly the colorblindness issues?
To fix this particular issue, they would have to, like, redesign, not like fundamentally, but I mean, I don't
Add
think they could, no. It's a really specific problem, and the problem is, like, the whole mechanic of an entire area doesn't work for me. So for them to change it would be, I don't think they could, really, or at least I don't think they would, because it would just be, I don't know what they could do to make it work the same way, but
have
also
the puzzles work in the same exact,
like,
way,
That's just the way they've designed it, and that's fine, but it's just, like, disappointing specifically to me because, you know, it's not just about doing puzzles on grids and then, you know, as long as you understand what's going on in front of you, you're fine. There's more to the game than that, and that's a problem for me. So, yeah, but I don't want to explain any more than that because, obviously, you know, I don't want to ruin it for people listening or whatever.
That sounds super frustrating to me because I go to video games to get away from, like, accessibility kind of problems, like, in that way.
Yeah.
So,
and,
yeah.
I mean, it's you know, it's a small part of the game, but I think the colorblindness issue is bigger because that, like, you know, I mean, that would be really frustrating to me if I didn't understand what was going on because of colorblindness. And yeah, it's really unfortunate that there's problems like that in a game that they didn't really seem to think of in the first place. But also, you know, to change it would compromise the vision, I guess, and that's okay. But it's in this day and age, you know, generally people try to make their games so that anybody can play them if possible. Yeah, and this isn't, it's not the case with The Witness, it seems.
That's a shame.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
It does seem like
a very good game, sorry.
That's probably, like, a result of it being not a huge team, right? Like, they don't probably have the kind of resources they need to be able to check that kind of stuff. Like, it's often overlooked, I would think. Certain problems like colorblindness is often overlooked because some people just don't experience that, and it's a shame that having a small team and not having people who understand that can impact your product in some way.
Yeah, I don't think you can change the FOV settings either, can you? So people who get motion sickness, like if the FOV is not wide enough for them, I think they'll probably like hate the game, because you can't, if you can't change it, then, you know, and it's a first-person game. I personally don't have that problem, but I know some people do. But the options menu is basically like load game and quit almost. You know, there's not much else apart from some basic settings. I'm not sure if there's FOV. I don't know 100%.
I know that they're supposed to be patching it to help address that issue, but there are like accessibility guidelines that exist to help developers with color blindness and things like that specifically, but it is tough.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, if you never thought about that kind of thing, they might not even consider that being a problem.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely the case with a problem that I've got. You know, they've designed puzzles around a fairly specific and a cool idea, but it doesn't work for me, so I can't do it. And it was just upsetting to, well, not upsetting really, it was just kind of disappointing to find that out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you want your entertainment to be good and not limiting and not like...
Yeah, you want people to be able to play your game, I would imagine, yeah.
But I would also say that because the game doesn't require you to do everything in order to, you know, complete it in a sort of traditional sense of getting to the end of a game and beating it, then it's not a massive problem, because you can get by without doing a lot of this stuff. But most people who come into this kind of game and really want to enjoy it, they really want to do everything. You know, yeah. A lot of people will want to do every puzzle they can find, and they might want to replay the game after they finish it and find all those hidden secrets and stuff. And if some of that is stuff they can't do, then it's a bit of a turnoff, I think.
For sure.
But yeah, that's the witness.
So there is like a definitive ending, though, right? Like from what you understand.
I think so. I haven't actually finished it, so I'm not really sure. But there's definitely like an end area, and I assume that when you finish that, the game's over. I'm not sure if you can go back and do other stuff or anything like that. I really don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd never played Fez, but my understanding was Fez had a definitive ending, but then there was also other stuff you could do. Other hidden things.
I think
things.
Fez had, like, yeah, like, multiple ways. I think there was, you know, sort of normal ending and then an ending by doing all the extra stuff that was more difficult and involved, like, deciphering all the languages and doing all the hidden puzzles and stuff. But whether that's the same in a witness, I couldn't say. It could be.
Okay.
It reminds me a lot of the Talos Principle. I don't know if anybody's played that, but that's a game I didn't have any problems with because the mechanics are all fairly straightforward and, you know, easy to understand. It's just applying them. And it has a similar sort of atmosphere and scene, but I think I'd prefer the Talos Principle. But anyway, that's, yeah, 92-year-old game.
Yeah, they definitely seem very similar from footage I've seen of the two.
Yeah, that's that.
All right. So, did you play anything else?
I played a little bit of a game called Black Desert Online that if people have watched Polygon's Monster Factory videos, will probably have seen some of not that long ago. It's a weird Korean MMO, and I won't talk about it very much, but
just like
it's just
Bart.
Kind of hilarious. Yeah. Just like Bot. It's gotten a ridiculous character creator, but... yeah, I used to play a lot of MMOs, and I don't really anymore. This one's not too bad, especially for a Korean MMO, which tend to be really grindy and kind of shallow, but this one's kind of fun. It's got a lot of PvP stuff in it, which I like, but yeah, that's it's Black Desert Online, and I've been playing a bit of Dragon's Dogma, but I've been having a real hard time getting into that game, and I thought I'd really like it. I got it on PlayStation 3 when it was on PS Plus, and then never played it, and like lost access to that account, so I couldn't play it anyway. But I've downloaded it on PC, and I played it for like 2 hours, and I wasn't feeling it at all. I'll go back to it at some point, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really into it that much. I'm surprised, because I really like Dark Souls and games like that, and I thought this would be kind of similar in a way. But yeah, I don't know. Has anyone else played it, like to completion, or a lot of it? I don't know.
I haven't finished it, and I haven't really gone back to it since last week. I kind of understand what you mean. Like, I haven't gone back to it because I don't know, I just haven't felt like playing it. Like, it's a weird, kind of dry game, and I don't know, I just haven't been in the mood for playing it, and it's weird.
I feel like I need to sit down and play it for ages, and long enough to get invested in the character development, and I don't mean like story, I mean, you know, developing the character that you're playing, like stats and armor and stuff. And I just didn't really feel any interest to do that the bit I was playing. I didn't really feel like, oh, I want to get better and get more skills and blah, 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 and fight things. And I also, I'm not a massive fan of having like AI companions and stuff. I didn't really like it in the Mass Effect games. And at least you don't really have to control them at all in this. But I'd probably rather play the game if it was just me on my own without all the side things. But it's, you know, they're like an integral part of the game, so it's not like they're going anywhere. I think I could probably get into it if I really committed some time to it. I really, really, really enjoyed The Witcher 1. But yeah, so maybe if they announce a Dragon's Dogma 2, it will just make me like force myself to play it. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I have to force myself to play it. It reminds me of Harvest Moon in a weird way. Like, once you get into it, like, you don't want to stop playing, but you have to get into it. And that's why I haven't started like another play session, because I know to like get into it, I'm going to have to play it for hours. And I just haven't had time for that kind of stuff lately.
It's the same for me, really. You know, I can drop into like The Witness and play it for just a little while and just look at a puzzle for a bit and go, ah, you know, I can't do this, or, oh, now I've got it. And I can come away from it and still think about what I was doing, and then come back for a little while or play a game of Rocket League or whatever. And I just don't really have the time to go, okay, I'm going to spend the next 7 hours playing Dragon's Dogma until I enjoy it.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you have to be like, oh, I'm working on this one thing. Oh, I just finished this, so now I'm working on another thing. Like, yeah, you have to be in that sort of mood, and yeah.
And I would imagine you have to be in that kind of mindset, right? Like, it takes a certain, like, mood, not mood, but mindset. Mindset is the word I used. It takes a certain mindset to get there. You have to be willing to think about things like that.
Well, I don't have time, and I don't feel like it. Like, I know if I start it up, I'm going to not even get over to this quest area before I have to go do something else. Like, oh, no, I have to fold this laundry first, and I have to do dishes. So I don't have time to just, like, grind on my Gary Pawn and get him the fanciest-ass armor and stuff. Like,
I think I've reached a point where, like, directionless open world games really just don't do anything for me anymore. And that's why I don't think I finished The Witcher 3. Because while it has a main story, I got to a point with that game where I thought I was about to finish it, and then it didn't finish. And then I was like, I want the game to be over, and I don't have any desire to go and do any of these side quests. I mean, they're all well written, and the voice acting is great and everything. But I want the feeling of completing this game so I can move on, and it's just not giving it to me. And I just don't really want to commit to games like that at the moment, where it's just go and do whatever you want for a while, and then there's a story, but it's not very important, and you can come back to it later. I'd rather have something that's a bit more curated at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I think I could appreciate that. I think I might also be in the same boat, where I would rather have an experience where I go from A to B and not really have to deal with anything else.
That's one thing I liked about The Witcher 2, is that it's very much a linear game, but it has branching paths and open areas, but you know that you can do everything in that area in a fairly short amount of time, complete it, and then you move on, and that's it. You're somewhere else. And I think the structure of that game is really good, and I played for it once and immediately went for it again, and I don't normally do that. I think the only game I've ever played through twice is like Dragon Age Origins. I got really into that game for some reason, but I can't even finish The Witcher 3 once. It's just too long. It just goes on and on and on and on.
I kind of don't mind it in 3, though, for some reason. I don't know why. Like, I want it to keep going on and on and on. I don't want it to end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think it's great that there's always more stuff to do, but I found that I was just losing investment in the world, and, like, my, you know, the motivation and urgency are just disappearing, and I just started to lose interest in the actual story, and then, yeah. Also, I had a lot of bugs in that game, which really annoyed me. Like, half the, like, monster hunting missions didn't seem to work for me. There's the one, I don't know if anyone's done it, but there's one where there's a sort of griffin thing, not a griffin thing, like a, I don't know, but it lives in a cave right outside where the Baron has his little castle. And I found it before I'd got the quest to go and kill it, and it just totally broke for me, and it was flying around, and then it would land on the ground, and I could hit it, but it wouldn't do any damage, and I couldn't, like, find any way to unbug it, and this happened multiple places where I just couldn't do stuff, and it just upset me, you know, like, oh, okay, well, like, I've tried everything I can think of to fix this, and nothing's working, and I guess I'll just never be able to finish it, and it happened with not a number of things.
I know that specific quest you're talking about right there, and it sounds like the scripting broke because you can't actually like beat it in that one area. It like flies back to its monster den, and then you finish it off in there.
I think that I'd actually triggered objectives in the quest before I'd got it, because it was popping up with stuff like, you know, hit, you know, chase it into its thing, and then it would fly out again. It's such a long time I don't remember it too well. But I hadn't actually got the quest to kill it. I just thought I could do it anyway. And then I got the quest, and it, you know, the quest objective was not lined up with where the actual the NPC was. So it just wouldn't have any of it. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah. That's why I had to stop playing Witcher 2, because it was broken. So I understand.
Yeah, that's all I've been playing, really.
Well, that seems like quite a variety of games there, Brent. Quite a variety indeed. Okay. So now, unless anyone else has video games they want to talk about right now, speak forever, hold your peace. Anybody?
Well, we have to talk about video games during the news, too, but...
Sure. Then we'll move on to
technically.
News.
Technically.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do news.
Nice. Is that our theme now?
I'm going to do a little do-do-do every time we do news now, I think. That's going to be our thing. I think that's going to be our thing now. And our first news story of the night, of the podcast, night podcast.
Yeah.
EA, instead of doing their big press conference, is doing a party instead. Doing their own event at E3.
Well, they're still having a press conference. It's going to be the Sunday before E3, like the same time that Bethesda did theirs. They're just not going to be at actual E3. They're not going to have a booth at E3. They're going to have their own little convention thingy called EA Play, like next door. It's going to be open to the public. So go there if you want, I guess.
We're going to take our toys and go elsewhere. We can have our own E3. It's going to be better with hookers and blow. Right?
EA only. It's special.
Special. People will clap for our games, right?
Well, it being open to the public is kind of interesting. Like, that makes more sense, kind of, to me, for E3. Like, who cares about E3? Like, it's supposedly there for the press, but video game press are going to be paying attention to video games all the time anyway, and normal press doesn't really give a shit anymore. Like, why?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why you would make this decision. Seems a little strange. I mean, I get it from a sense of E3 has less significance, and if we're just going to do another event at some point, that's fine, but it's kind of like E3 is already happening. Why not just do it at E3 rather than...
It's probably cheaper than actually exhibiting at E3. Like, E3 is expensive. Like, maybe they got some deals, and maybe they figure if they can advertise to the general public, maybe they'll get more attention. I don't know.
I don't understand, though. If they're doing something that's separate, why are they doing it at the same time? Why not do it a different time of the year when they get all the attention to themselves? They want to watch games.
They figure, like, they still want, like, most of the attention from E3. They just don't want to actually pay for the E3 part. And, like, they can still have video game press come by for their event because they'll be there for E3. But that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I guess they probably just want E3, but not E3. They don't want some of the things that go along with E3, which is, like, having a booth. They would probably rather just have people play their games and be open to, like, press and stuff like that.
Maybe they want people that are more interested. Like, if you're going to their actual event, you're not just there to, like, you're there because of E3. You want to actually see their shit. I have no idea.
Plus, it's probably easier for them to control a message, right? Like, at their own thing.
Yeah.
They don't have to compete against other companies. Like, you know. When you're a booth like that, you look around and there's other things that people can go see. So I think they just want to kind of control the experience for people more and not have to compete against other companies at the same time.
I can only imagine that it's a money thing if they're still doing a press conference and they're still going to be in the area, but they're just not, like, operating in a convention center, is that right?
Yeah.
So it's probably money, yeah, but it seems bizarre that EA would have that problem or make that decision, because surely money isn't an issue as far as marketing is concerned like that.
I guess they figure it's just E3 isn't worth it, so...
And they're probably right, but I don't know. It still seems strange that they're going like halfway as they are and not all the way, if you know what I mean.
Well, it seems like, at least from what they let slip at that one, in one of their releases, that, you know, they sold pretty well. A lot of people look at this one thing that, like, they released the Xbox and PS4 sales as a bad thing, but they, you know, they sold, what, 55 million units combined for both consoles?
Well, these are, this is more like EA did an oopsie because they told Microsoft and Sony's numbers.
Yeah, so like oopsie. 55 million combined, with like Sony being well more than half of that. I think that's very surprising. 36 million for Sony and 19 million for Microsoft. That's quite the difference there.
Is it surprising? I mean, after the fact that the message that Microsoft put out originally still plaguing them now, with people that don't keep up with what's going on about their used games business at the beginning, and then of course right at the start of this generation, everyone was buying PS4s instead because of mm-hmm. the Microsoft bad marketing. And what do you do if your friend has a PS4 and not an Xbox One? Will you buy a PS4? And so it just spreads like that. So eventually maybe it will balance out, but it's probably just going to be like the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 again, where it's going to take a very long time for them to equalize, but one's always going to be ahead of the other, realistically.
I imagine so as well, yeah.
But either way, I think EA is selling well, you know? I can't imagine they're having money issues.
Well, no. Yeah, they're doing pretty well.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they're actually doing not that great, because they do spend quite a bit
on games. Well, I think it's smart of them, like, to actually consider whether spending for a booth at E3 is really worth their bottom line, and I guess they figure it is not, so...
I could go either way on it. I could say... from my personal perspective, yes, it's totally worth it because you get really great PR, but they're going to get PR anyway, so who knows? I guess we'll have to see.
As long as they have an embarrassing press conference with, like, bad camera movement and somebody making weird noises and waving their arms, it's fine, to be honest.
And if I can see Pele and Hoop God at EA Play, I will go there. I will go there. Pele, Hoop God.
Both Pele and Hoop God?
I hope so.
I don't know.
That's a hell of a party. That's insane.
Yeah, that's... Man.
Maybe Pele will talk about the things they want him to talk about this time.
No.
That was great.
Alright, so yeah, I don't know. We'll see. That's certainly not news story I ever expected to see this week. At all. Ever. It's weird. It's a weird news story. Outside of that news story, and our second news story of the podcast, GOG has launched their own version of Early Access. Great. Happy. Fun.
Okay.
Sweet.
Fine.
The floodgates are already open with Steam. Yeah. It doesn't matter anymore, does it? It's all gone to shit.
Yep, basically.
All hope is lost.
Yep.
Doggone.
Well, they added refunds, too, on GOG. Not good old games. No, they're not old. They're just good.
Just good games. That's all we do. We don't do old games. Nobody likes old games. We like good games.
We've discussed this already. Yeah. No old games.
They're banned.
Always be playing new games.
Only play games that aren't out yet.
So I was amazed by this and put this in our news story thing, in our news section, just to be like, wow, I kind of figured all the other digital platforms already had their own version of this, but thinking about it now, yeah, it really is Steam that does this. I was kind of surprised.
Desura is that.
Yeah, pretty much. Desura. That's true. Yeah. Desura is like the beta.
They are early access, like, just embodied.
Desura access.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the one game I own on Desura is, and I can't. I think it might be some, like, bicycle game that Drew was playing once.
Oh, yeah. MTV Mountain Free Ride.
I think that might be it. I might have got that.
That's the only one I've got on there, too. Nice. Because it is a cool game. But I need to go back and look at it again.
Did it ever get finished or put on Steam or anything?
It's on Steam Greenlight still, probably.
Okay.
Where it will remain forever. Probably. Indeed.
That's a fun little game. It has out of the box controller support. It's free.
Yeah. You want should you buy it on Desura? Probably not though, right?
No. I mean, well, you can either get it on Desura or go get it on their website.
Hey, you guys. You know what else is going to be a free game later
hi.
On?
What?
Hey, hi. That Five Nights at Freddy World game that was an RPG and it sucked and people didn't like it. He refunded everybody's money and he's going to release it later for free. So, yay, I guess. I haven't played a single one of those games. Is it because I'm old or something?
This flew completely over my head. This whole news story, like, I guess this has been developing over a week, and I would see it, like, out of the corner of my eye and go, huh, look, there's something going on with that thing.
But... Well, this guy has brought out, like, five of these Five Nights at Freddy games, and, like, they
but
first
why?
Became big, like, a year ago or something, right?
Yeah,
two years ago.
A streamer Twitch bait, because the first one... Despite not really being a particularly great game.
It was just jump scares.
It got streamed a lot, so he just keeps making them quickly. Apparently it doesn't take him very long, because I swear the first one came out like 2 months ago.
Yeah, it felt like it came out, and like, I don't even know. It was really
now they're on like the fifth one.
And isn't this like an RPG version of that?
Yeah, it looks like a spin-off turn-based RPG, which I can understand why he would have trouble making this, because it seems very different from the other games, so...
So what's the story? He got excited and released early or something, right? And it was supposed to come out next month?
Yeah,
and then he
was
just
like,
oh,
look at how this is doing great. I'm just going to bring it out now. It's great. And people were upset because... The battle system apparently wasn't well explained and things like that, so he basically pulled it from Steam and gave refunds to everybody. And he's like, well, I will incorporate your feedback, you guys. Thank you. I will release it later on, and it'll be free, so just play then, I guess. So that's really nice of him. I'm sure,
I bet those,
like,
people would have been totally fine paying for that game, too.
Probably.
Like, he didn't have to do that.
But I'm sure, like...
If that was a game that I really liked, like, say, oh, EA released Skate 4 a month early or something, and they're like, oh, this sucks, we're sorry, here's your money back, we're gonna release the game a little later than we expected, I'd be like, alright, cool, whatever, as long as you guys fix shit, and I'll go buy it again.
I don't know, I wonder how many people bought Batman again afterwards.
That's a good point. But then again, Five Nights at Freddy's is like $10.
Yeah, that's true. And
so.
He definitely has, like, more of a goodwill just because it is, like, one guy. And, yeah, like, probably if you're a fan of the game, you're probably a fan of the developer, too. So I guess it makes sense for him to, like, try and release it for free as, like, a goodwill gesture.
Also, Batman came out again and it was still broken.
Yes.
That
is a valid point.
Well, I mean, they put the rain back in there, so...
You should have released that for free after that fuck-up.
Yeah, I bet people would have been really happy with WB Games if that Batman was free, like, later. Like, yeah. Maybe they should have done that.
Should have discounted it significantly, at least. Just, you
yeah,
know,
something.
Sold
or,
it
like,
for cheap.
A free DLC season pass to, like, people who didn't refund it or something like that. Something to generate some kind of goodwill to make people want to buy PC games from you later on. But I guess they don't give a fuck about trying to sell on PC anymore, apparently.
No, it doesn't seem that way, does it?
Just give up.
Batman, Arkham Knight, Oops Edition.
That's a good name. I would actually be okay with they released that. That'd be funny.
The We Fucked Up Edition.
That's good. That's funny. Also, how did
fuck,
this person release...
Fuck Dave Lang edition.
Aww.
So yeah, like, I'm kind of surprised by this news story. And also, how does this person release games so quickly? It took him 3 months. 3 months to release
Adderall?
A game.
No, I don't know. That's casting aspersions. I don't know. But yeah, he must be one dedicated dude. That's crazy.
Cashing in, man.
Yeah. So also Scalebound's delayed, because they don't want to fight with the other games in that time slot. I think that seems a lot like movies where they just don't want to release and fight against each other for ad.
Yeah. Yeah, like it'll perform better in this at this time, so that's when we'll do it. I mean, fine, I guess. Okay.
Smart.
Fine, fine. Give me more time to buy an Xbox One. Fine.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get where you're coming from, Mary, with like it being kind of bad, but it's also like, you know,
but I mean,
it makes sense.
The games that he brought up as competition, like, I don't want to play those games. I want to play Scalebound. Fuck you. Like, I don't care about all the fall sports games or, like, Quantum Break or Gears of War 4 or Killer Instinct Season 3. I might care about that Rare Pirates game, but, I mean...
It's just, whatever. Even if you, in particular, don't, I mean, it's all, like... PR stuff, right? It's all whatever age demographic you fit into. Those
marketing
games will appeal to you.
Yeah.
That is a lot of games for like a small space of time, and even if you lose only like a few, it's still probably not worth it.
Well, I do want to play Crackdown 3, so.
Are you sure that it's not because Platinum Games are trying to make every other video game ever at the moment that is getting delayed, and they're just saying that it's because it wouldn't perform as well at that time? Because they are making every other game.
I'm sure that's probably, like, a genuine factor that they, like, do need some extra time, because they are, like, making a ton of games, including a Ninja Turtle game that, sure.
They have four games. Four games releasing this year, apparently, according to their Wikipedia page.
Yeah, so, there's Star Fox, Nier, like,
Project
that Ninja
God.
Turtles, and Scalebound is next year now. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot of games, I guess, for them, but still, eh.
That game does look kind of interesting, I guess, but I don't own an Xbox, and I probably won't buy one, I don't think, unless they drop the price quite a lot, but by that time, maybe they will have.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, too.
I can't think of any other exclusives I'd actually be interested in.
I do want to play Sunset Overdrive, and I'm not sure other than that.
I wonder if this is going to happen more as time progresses. It seems like more games are being released each year, so I wonder if it's going to be a consideration for these larger studios to go and try to avoid each other. Which might be a good thing in the long run, you know, distances things out, makes it easier for people to actually buy your games. It doesn't make everything so expensive for us, maybe. Who knows?
I think it is to a degree, but sometimes you get people delaying stuff and it's all at the same time again, and they just keep pushing stuff back. But I remember 2014, 2015, there's a lot of games delayed out of 2014, I think, and they all still came out around the same time in early 2015. Maybe I'm remembering the wrong year, but it was, I don't know. But, I mean, they spread them out throughout the year a bit more than they do still now. It wouldn't hurt anybody, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't see how having more games be available is, like, a negative thing for the Xbox One, but whatever. I'm not a marketing manager.
Nah, here's this thing we're going to do. There's going to be no games on the Xbox One. That's how it's going to work.
Yeah, it's TV.
That's bold. That's bold.
It's a bold move.
TV and Kinect.
It's a bold move.
I respect it. I'm going to buy an Xbox One.
Moving into 2017. No games.
My God. I respect
that's the
you.
Future.
You're a crazy man, but I respect you.
The future of video games is the lack of video games.
That'd be certainly a change. All right. Let's talk about Harold Ryan. He's stepping
Who?
Down as the CEO of Bungie.
Oh.
He's the guy who was there since 2000. He's a guy. He started as a test manager for Halo Combat Evolved and worked his way up to president. Then CEO, being replaced with Peter Paulson, who came from Microsoft to Bungie in 2002 as the executive producer. Most of the official Bungie statements about this leadership change is trying to reassure Destiny players.
Jesus.
Ha ha ha.
You're not supposed to read that verbatim, okay? God. Why are you fucking this up, Thoughton? Take this serious, God.
that's what's happening, guys. So, yeah.
Serious business.
Yeah, serious business.
Obviously
and...
a scapegoat, because they fucked up so much with Destiny.
Yeah.
It's this dude's fault. He's leaving.
That said, I mean, if you looked at all the articles from Kotaku a while ago about what exactly it is that went wrong with Destiny, all the fingers point to the leadership being responsible for making the decisions that fucked the game up before it came out, because my understanding was that they'd got all the story and everything and the mission structure sorted out. And then the leadership said, oh no, this is too, like, this is too vanilla.
This is dumb, or whatever. Yeah.
And so they had to delay the game and they had to literally chop it up into pieces and put it back together again. And I imagine that if it came out as they intended originally, it would at least have been a bigger game and, you know, probably better. And the fact that they say they changed it for story reasons, it's like, there's no story in Destiny. No one cares. Like, what? How was that the influence?
Maybe there was a story at one point.
It means they got their feelings hurt too bad when people laughed at the wizard on the moon shit, and they were upset that they were going to make fun of their story, basically. Yeah, they were like, this story's stupid, so let's scrap it. It's terrible.
What we've got now can't possibly have been better than what they had before, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, none of it really works at all, but I don't know. I mean, hopefully when they make the next game, they'll actually have their vision unified and maybe this will help. But it seems to me like they got rid of this guide because they needed to throw somebody into the fire to keep people from, you know, raging at them even more than they are already.
Which is a shame.
Some of the recent things that they've done.
Because it's obviously not this one guy's fault, right? When something like that happens, it's obviously multiple people all involved, but you're probably never going to hear who it actually was or who all the people involved that caused the Destiny to be chopped up the way it was. It's just kind of a shame that it has to be this guy that takes the fall.
He's the top of the pyramid.
It might be
so,
his fault. It might be. Yeah. We don't know.
He could, you know, ultimately as a CEO, he's probably responsible for, like, final decisions on, you know, almost anything you'd imagine. So
it's like, fuck really, this, it sucks, I don't care, change it.
If he okayed these redesigns and stuff, then if he's got the last word, then it kind of is his fault, unless something came down from Activision overlords that they needed to change this and this. But why would they do that to Bungie, really? I mean, they've got an excellent track record of, they know how to make games. Why would they interfere? I don't know if they would, really.
Because,
yeah, I don't.
Activision.
Yes, but
yeah,
what they did,
they
didn't help them financially.
Yeah, they had to delay the Destiny release date after that, too. So I doubt Activision would have liked that very much.
Yeah, if anything, it would have cost them money by delaying it and having to spend a lot more man hours in putting it back together again a different way.
Right.
Knowing that they'd have to fix it as they went along afterwards. Anyway, hopefully it will improve, but I don't know. I expect that the only way Destiny's really going to go much further is with a new box edition copy of the game on a new engine where they can actually make new content for it.
I agree.
And I would buy that instantly if they announce it. But as I said not that long ago, that's been delayed. You know, their original Destiny 2 for September this year has been delayed indefinitely. So that's kind of troubling as well.
Definitely.
So who knows, like, what's going on at Bungie.
Yeah, I hope this means they have some strong new structured leadership, like him coming from a producer role. Like, yeah, produce the shit out of them, please.
Yeah, as a producer, he should know how to, like, actually organize things into happening rather than just make executive decisions.
I hope so.
The right person for the job.
I guess we'll see. With time, we'll tell.
Time and microtransactions.
Microtransactions. That's who they should make the CEO.
Yeah, microtransactions.
I heard he's good with numbers.
He's great.
He always makes them go up, yeah.
He's extremely good with numbers. Also chopping games up, which apparently Bungie likes to do too, so there you go. Microtransactions. 2017, head of Bungie. Vote now. Anybody? No one laugh? Not even a laugh? Not even a pity laugh?
No. Just go. End this.
We
want a
lab.
Mercy kill.
Okay, in other news, the State of the Industry survey came out. The GDC, the Game Developers Conference, survey of the industry. They asked people about VR and AR. It seems
and
like
what
people
they're working on.
It seems like people are definitely doing stuff. I'll read off some of these numbers here. 90% of respondents working on Rift games, 7% Gear VR. With Vive, PlayStation VR, and Google Cardboard, all around about 6% an interest is interest in developing for these virtual reality platforms.
Like, they want to develop for these platforms. Like, yeah, what would you like to develop for is what they asked on this next question.
So 40% would like to develop for the Rift, 26% for the Vive and PlayStation experience?
VR, yeah.
PlayStation VR experience thing? And HoloLens, 25%. 75% of the respondents answered that VR and AR market is a long-term sustainable business model. And the most surprising thing to me is probably the thing you heard when I was mentioning it is Vive is around where the PlayStation is at. That's very surprising to me. Especially given Valve's long-term standing relationship with the video game industry and being so well-respected. I think it's very interesting that it only ends up at 26%.
I think that it makes almost perfect sense because, especially now, after people know how much the Rift costs and how much the Vive might cost, being like people are, you know, making guesses that it could be nearly double or more than what the Rift costs. Well, obviously, the market share is going to be a lot lower there. And if you have to make games that only work with one and not the other, which I don't imagine many people would, then naturally you choose the one that's cheapest, the more people are going to have. PlayStation VR, I don't imagine going to be amazingly successful because I imagine it'd be very hard to make games for that because if you're limited to the hardware of the PlayStation 4, which is already quite a long way behind current PCs, I mean, just look at the specs that they want you to have for the Rift. I mean, my computer, which is pretty good, I think, is not adequate, apparently, for running Rift games okay. So how is PlayStation 4 going to have good-looking VR experiences? I don't know, unless it comes with some hardware, and that makes it very expensive as well. So I think
it
makes sense.
I'm pretty sure it is, because they said, like, look forward to console pricing on it, so I can't imagine they would release, like, a shitty version.
Yeah, it'll probably come with a brick, with, like, a auxiliary graphics card in or something like that, I don't know, a processor.
But yeah, I think developers probably are just waiting to see what people buy, so makes sense to me about all the numbers, yeah.
I hope it takes off, because I think that if this technology does take off and it gets cheaper and more affordable, then it's finally, it feels like it really is something different that hasn't happened in a while, as far as, you know, gaming is concerned.
Yeah, so I hope totally it goes places. New things with it, for sure. New mechanics.
And it does feel like the last decade, you know, since last generation of consoles of sort of PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, mechanically and visually, games haven't really changed very much. I mean, visually they have a little bit, but I don't really feel like experiences are very different now from how they were then.
Totally, yeah. Like, most games are still basically the same as PS2 games. In my opinion.
I think this is good, like, that there's a seemingly positive response in development towards VR, and they think that it's going to be a sustainable business in the future.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely pleased with that. Like, I want it to be, like, an actual business market. Like, I hope people can make money selling VR stuff, because I would like to play a lot of it.
Yeah.
They need to make those games in order for people to buy the headsets so they can make more games, so ultimately, the big initial investment's got to be from the game developers. They have to commit their money to making games that people will go out and buy the hardware for, and that's going to be difficult. But I think once it gets going, and hopefully that's where Valve is going to come in, because they're making their own hardware, so you'd think they'll make some of their own games for it down the line, or at least have good support. That will push people into it. You know, if they did, people say it all the time, but if they somehow release Half-Life 3, and said, oh, it's going to come out a month early, or if you have a Vive or something, that would pretty much kickstart the entire, like, VR business, because that would get enough people to spend a load of money, I think. I mean, maybe that's overstating it a little bit, but I think it would definitely, it's probably the biggest thing that anyone could do to get people to buy, like, PC VR headsets that I can think of, is to do something like that.
Yeah, like, there definitely do need to be a lot of big, like, high-profile games that I actually want to play, like,
there
before.
Needs to be a killer app.
Killer app. Because, like, right now, like, all of the gameplay demos I've seen for VR stuff, like, I don't want to spend $700, $800, like, $1,000 for the stuff, really. Sorry. So even just one Half-Life 3, I don't know if that would be enough for me. Like, I really liked Half-Life 1 and 2, and that Half-Life 2 video, the teaser video with the G-Man, and like, wow, this is so fancy and new, all this physics tech, like, they would have to bring out a pretty fucking fancy video for me to be convinced again. I don't know.
Rise and shine,
it would be enough to tip some people over the edge who were on the fence about it if they thought, okay, well, if I know that if I buy this, I'm going to get some good experiences, and this one is the icing on the cake, and then I'll have this piece of hardware, and so that any new experiences that come along, I'm ready for. But yeah, I mean, at the moment, I'm not even considering buying one, because I'd have to upgrade my PC first anyway, at least a bit, at which point I may as well upgrade the whole thing, so that I can get high FPS. Because if you've got the minimum specifications, then who's to say the FPS will still be adequate if you're running something on high settings? In a new game, it might not be, and if the FPS drops, then it's all going to fall apart. So you kind of need to go overkill, I imagine, on the hardware a little bit. So, and perhaps that's what the specifications released by Oculus are. They're like overkill, so that
I think they kind of are.
I would have thought they would be, because they wouldn't want to have minimum specifications for it to run, because then if it doesn't, the FPS isn't high enough, then it just doesn't work anyway. So. Yeah, I guess they would be quite high anyway, but it's going to take quite a lot to push it over, I think, but hopefully somebody will have the guts to do it.
We can hope.
Yeah, because I want to buy that stuff eventually, like when they're all out and there are games and I can buy them, like not reserve them months in advance or whatever. I don't care, that doesn't count as buying them. So, emails?
No, we have one final news story. Something that nobody seems to be talking about. Yo, GameStop's getting into the publishing business.
No, thanks.
No, but it's with Insomniac Games.
Nope, I'm good.
Don't you like those video games they make? Like the one with the gopher and the robot?
The what?
The gopher?
The goat? The what? The robot?
The gopher robot man who flies around.
There's a, wait, you're telling me there's a video game with a gopher and a robot?
Yes.
Okay, tell me more.
It's in a space.
Okay.
They fly around, they fight bad guys, and this dude, he's in green, and he's a superhero. But he's not actually a superhero, he's actually just, like, a lazy dude who's just kind of all fluff and not a lot of filler. You think you like that? They fight all kinds of supervillains.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. What's the name, though?
It's a Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, that's pretty good. Very visceral.
Is that
the one with the elf and the ferret?
No, that's another one. That's another game that's called the ferret and the whatever. That's actually a different game. It's called Hold One Moment. It's actually called that other one.
I heard one where there's like an anime guy and he's got like a ferret friend. Or is that what we're talking about?
Who are we?
Talking about Jack and Daxter?
Jack and Daxter, isn't that? Yeah.
Was that Insomniac? It wasn't, was it? Was it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Basically
there
the same
we, there's
lines.
A Ratchet and Daxter.
Jack and Clank?
Ugh.
No, that was Naughty Dog. Never mind, that's Naughty Dog. My bad. I mix them up all the time. Who could blame me?
Who did Spyro?
Naughty Dog.
No, that was
Insomniac.
That was Insomniac. I promise.
They're
you.
The same.
Because Naughty Dog did Crash.
Yes, Naughty Dog did Crash Bandicoot. Right. Yes. Sly Fox. That is
Sly,
Naughty
Sly
Dog.
Cooper.
I believe
Sly Cooper was a Naughty Dog joint. I believe.
Really? I thought that was like SCEA.
I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass.
That's a Sucker Punch game. That's a Sucker Punch game, ladies and gentlemen. Which eventually became...
Infamous People, yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, some about... So many... They're all blending together.
There's a lot of developers that made a lot of, like, sort of cartoony kid games, but that ended up being really good games, that are now making realistic, like...
Movies.
Video game movie things. Yeah. There are too many companies that have done that.
Cinematic Adventures.
Yes. Oh, God, sure, whatever. Call it what you want.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Just don't put an underscore in it.
I think this is actually probably the biggest news story, at least for me, this week, is, my God, a brick and mortar to finally moving out of it.
Collusion.
Collusion, it's Conergate, they're gonna bring it back, baby. Here we go, Flash Games, they're coming back. You ready?
Congregate? Wait, what did you say?
Congregate?
Congregate, yeah. Yes. Congregate?
They just put a K instead of a C.
Conergate?
Congregate.
Congregate.
It means gather together in a group.
Like a congregation in a church.
Congregation? Yes. Congregation?
No, not congregation. Not Conergate.
Oregon?
No. No.
Museum? Museum?
What region are you even from?
Noist? I brought it all back together. That was
you, New Yorker.
That was something I said when we were playing The Division. I said, Noist. Yeah. Joke. It's inside
jokes.
And I said
you were talking like a true New Yorker. And yep. Back Noist. In the New York talk. Back in the gutter.
I was trying to do a new accent.
Telling me is we need to go play some more of The Division beta, but act like angry New Yorkers.
Yes.
Yep. And harass people on the street.
Oh, God. Hat. I want a hat.
Hat.
Sorry, Megan will laugh at that right away. Like, when we went on a trip to New York City, there was a guy who was selling hats in New York City, and he was just yelling, hat. Over and over again.
Hey, man, you gotta be persistent in the hat business.
It's perfection. They were $5.
It worked. We all bought hats, so...
Well, there you go.
See? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, emails now. Emails. Let's talk about emails.
Let's talk about the lack of them. You guys need to step your fucking game up. And by you guys, I mean the people listening to this.
If you're still listening, please send us an email. Like, yeah. It's less effort than listening to this garbage, really.
Hey, we do high quality content that sometimes is interrupted by me making bad jokes.
Or me, because I didn't realize you guys were recording a podcast, and I just kind of barged in. Like, what's up, guys?
That was great.
All right, emails. Optics, a Mr. DJ? Strange name he has. Yes, he's from Britain.
He's from over there.
He's from over there.
He's from South Africa. He's from over there.
I've been there.
Have you?
Once, yeah.
I always wanted to go over there.
Oh, don't. It's terrible.
Really?
Oh, yes. It's awful.
Where'd you go?
I went to Manchester and then got stabbed. Never go there.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. Never go to Manchester.
They're all going to try to stab you.
Most people should know that already.
You're
going to
get stabbed.
Well, the further north you go, the more likely you are to get stabbed.
What about a glassing? Where do you go for that?
I've no idea.
Mary, that's rude. And come on.
Glasgow.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that like dogging?
No, it's Ugh. When you break an alcohol bottle over someone's head.
Oh, that's everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Just generally over there, everywhere.
Here.
When I think glassing, I think shooting a giant laser at a planet and turning everything on it into glass. Because you're turning
that's
carbon.
That's cooler. Really?
You can thank the Halo books for that one. Because that's what the Covenant do. They glass planets.
I think everyone's read The Fall of Reach, right?
Yeah, that's where I got it from.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody has read the Pope.
I don't read
the
video
president?
Game books.
Tell you, everybody's read Fall of Reach.
Except The Witcher. Oops. Those Borderlands. They have Borderlands novels, you guys.
Why?
Well, they made a Borderlands adventure game, so apparently there's a story in there somewhere.
But this is before.
There?
This is about the Vault Hunters. Yeah. So,
there's this guy called Optics who's sending us a question, right?
Yes.
If you asked a lot of people a month ago what game they were looking forward to most in January, most would probably say Tomb Raider, but clearly within the last week, everybody has been either talking about The Witness or The Division. I found this pretty funny. Can you guys recall anything else like this in the past? No. No, I cannot. Actually, yes. No. Maybe?
Mm-mm. I can't think of anything. I'm sure there's probably something super obvious.
I was looking forward to Dragon's Dogma this month, and I played almost none of it. That was the thing I was hyped for. I've been looking forward to it coming to PC for months, but yeah, I played like 2 hours of it.
I like it. Okay.
And I wasn't looking forward to The Witness at all, really, until like a week before it came out and everyone was talking about it. And I thought, oh, I guess I'll buy it. and I do like it, but yeah.
I have, like, a terrible memory, so trying to think of, like, a specific month where people were looking forward to one game and ended up playing totally different shit, I just can't remember. I
mean, whatever came out in the months that Rocket League came out, probably.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Like, that was the big, like, out-of-the-blue, take-everybody-by-storm game, for sure.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's the only recent example I can think of. My God, my memory.
I wish Dragon Quest Heroes had done that, but whatever. I don't know.
When did video games come out? I can't.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember, probably, like, what came out 5 years ago. It's really hard.
Like, I can barely remember beta. Monday, so whatever.
Where am I today?
Well, you live in the future. Shut up.
Yeah.
It's Monday
here.
Thank you.
No,
it's still January here, bud.
Nope.
Thank you.
Mr. Future Man.
Mr. Future Man. That's your new official title.
Mr. Future Man. Living in February already.
Let me tell you the lottery numbers.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead now.
Oh, no, I'm joking. I'm not going to tell you the lottery numbers. I'm going to use them myself. I'm coming over there, and I'm going to play lottery.
You're a future fucker is what you are.
Weird.
Whoa.
Keeping your secret shit to yourself, you February future fucker.
I can't fuck with the timeline, can I?
I guess I would not
recommend against it.
Unless you want a good glassing.
Or a good stabbing.
I think we're going to end the podcast now, guys.
All right.
It's a good idea. We should. Yeah, it's... Oh.
We've been
I'm
your
sorry.
Host.
Everybody have a good day.
Everybody have a good day. Go out. Kiss your loved one, glass them a little bit, go to bed.
Don't do that.
You're in the future right now, too, really. I mean, compared to, like, when we're recording this and you're listening to it, you have to be.
Whoa, man.
Holy shit. Whoa. So deep.
All right. This has been episode, what is it, 23?
20, 45? 78? It's 42. Oh, 42. So deep. Whoa.
Oh.
It's like the movie 42. That's a movie I just found
out. Yeah. The one that had Jim Carrey starring in it. Yeah, that was a good one.
Did Jim Carrey star in it?
I thought you were making a reference to movie 23, where he was like predicting the future and shit, and you were just like making this different number. And yeah, I don't know. And this nightmare. Fucking A.
All right, everybody. We've been Rums of Baghdad. Remember to spay and neuter your pets. Good night.
Have fun in the future.
Bye.
Future fuckers.
Fuckers.